You know, tonight, coming here to the last half of 2 Corinthians 5, it's all about Jesus. And I thought, wow, how appropriate. This is the first Wednesday night of December, and we're in the Christmas month, the birth of Jesus celebration. And how appropriate that would be about Jesus, because it is all about Him. And so let's turn now in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we left off at verse 13 last week. Now in these last few verses of 2 Corinthians 5, 13 through 21, it's just nine verses. actually, there's two really famous verses in just that short time. I mean, two verses that are so powerful and beautiful that we'll just know these verses because they've been quoted so many times. But let's go ahead and begin to read now, because the Apostle Paul was actually accused of being a little bit crazy by some of the people in his congregation at Corinth. Some of the guys got off the wall. You know, they were kind of jealous of Paul, and so they started saying that he was beside himself. And so he's kind of defending that a little bit, and he says, "For whether we be beside ourselves," in other words, a little crazy, "it is to God." I mean, we just love Him so much, and if we get a little crazy sometimes, it's just for Him. "Or whether we be sober," which, "or of sound mind," which that's another translation. "They're sober, we're of a sound mind. It is for your cause to just be really of a sound mind, to let you know the truth that Christ loves you and has a plan for your life," and so forth. He wants to say that in a sober way and to give that instruction. Now, you know what? They also said that Jesus was a little crazy. And even his mother and his brothers, even Mary and Jesus Christ's brothers, who the Bible says didn't even believe in him until after the resurrection, they heard that he was at a house and teaching, and they went there to the house. And the people went in and said, your mother and your brothers are here for you, because they were told that they thought he was beside himself, that he was kind of like off the rocker a little bit by going into someone's house and teaching them the Bible and so forth. And so Jesus then responded, and sometimes we need to respond like this when someone thinks we're kind of off the wall or something. And he just said, "Who are my mother or my brothers but those that will do the will of God?" And he was with those that believed in him, and he was instructing them, and we're so glad that he did, and that we have that instruction for ourselves. I had that kind of experience with an uncle of mine once, and maybe you've had an experience like that with some relatives that think you're kind of three, you know, however it goes, you know, not playing with a full deck kind of thing. And so my uncle was actually kind of getting on my case a little bit. And he was always my favorite uncle, always Uncle Jimmy. But he just thought that I'd gone a little crazy with the Lord. And so he was talking to my dad, and my dad protected me because Uncle Jimmy said something and said that was in the Bible. My dad looked at him and said, "Maybe it's in the Russian Bible." Not in the real Bible. And it was kind of fun to see my dad trying to protect me in his own way. But my uncle felt so sorry for me because of kind of being off the wall about the Lord and money matters and so forth. He always made a lot of money, that he gave me a $20 bill before he left. He made him feel better, you know. But that hurts, doesn't it, when a family member is kind of down on you and thinks you're kind of off the wall a little bit. But that happened to Jesus, like I just shared, and also with the Apostle Paul. It's just something that comes with the territory when you just love the Lord and God's leading you, sometimes it seems a little crazy to some people, but that's the way it goes. Now, he goes ahead and says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." If one died for everybody, that means that everybody was dead. "And he died for all, that they which live should not from this time on live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again." Now, I'd like to pursue this idea that actually we died with the Lord. And we're just read verse 15 there. And go to Romans on this. Go to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Romans chapter 6. And these are the baptism scriptures. And it talks about actually being dead with Christ. And how that works is simply we're all sinners. We've all done things bad. And the Lord, when he died for us, took our sin upon him, upon himself, on the cross. The Bible says that he became sin on the cross. Therefore, I was present at the cross because my sin was there. And so when he died for my sin, part of me died with him. And that's the sin part. Hallelujah. Because he had it upon himself. Let's just read here in Romans 6 about baptism, really, and how these things are said through baptism. It says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Hallelujah! The likeness of his resurrection. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." And just meaning that I was there at the crucifixion because my sin was there. Yes, my sin was there. And so I am crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. So there, just the display of what we read in 2 Corinthians 5, that if one died for all, then all are dead. And there's a death that goes on before the resurrection. And we thank God for the resurrection. Jesus is alive, and it proves that he can make us alive. And what's that? Amen. Amen. That's right. And so this is a very, very wonderful thing. So I'd like to turn now to Galatians 2:20. Now, this is a verse we'll probably all recognize, and this is such a great verse. We just read this, that our old man is crucified with him. Let's go to Galatians. Now, Galatians is past 2 Corinthians. Okay, so where we were in the beginning, we go past that to Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 20 says this: "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. Here I am. Even though my sin was on the cross with him, I'm still alive. Praise God. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So through faith in Christ, then I become alive. And as we read back in the book of Romans for baptism, then I come up out of the water. And as Christ was raised from the dead, so now I'm alive to walk in newness of life. It's a whole new ball game. Hallelujah. It's a do-over. You know, you get rid of that old stuff and walk in the new stuff, right? And it is an amazing transition that takes place. And you know, as we walk with the Lord, all of a sudden, the cuss words just begin to slip away. Hallelujah. I mean, you might keep one or two favorites, but I mean, they just fall away, you know? And we just become a different person because we have this new life in Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And just being transformed by Him and having faith in Him, I have a renewal of my mind. I remember that when Sherry and I were dating, before we were married, she and her aunt were having a hard time believing that someone could live to 900 years old. Because they read in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, that actually Adam lived to be 900 years old, 930 years old. And Methuselah lived to be 969 years old, the oldest man that ever lived. And so she would read things like that, and having an educated mind and a college lady and all, they just had a hard time believing that. But then Sherry came to Jesus and got saved, gloriously saved. And she didn't have a problem anymore believing what the Bible said, because that experience with the Lord Himself, that faith in Christ and the faith of Christ dwelling in her, just began to change her. And she just knew that this is a fresh new life. This is something that God does and lets us know that the old life is passed away with Jesus on the cross, because I'm crucified with Him. And I no longer live for myself, but for Him, because He now enters my life. And it's such a joyous thing to have that happen, that peace that passes understanding is just so amazing. You know, I always think and go back to my experience in the surf at Huntington Beach when I was in seventh grade to try to describe the peace of God. And I think most of us have experienced the peace of God. It's just delicious. It's like vanilla ice cream. I mean, it's just so great. You know, it's way beyond that. But I was in the waves at Huntington Beach. I was only in seventh grade, and I was 5 foot and I weighed 137 pounds. So I was a little heavy, and I didn't have my shoulders yet. They didn't come out, but I just had a great big bottom. And so, you know, I was bottom heavy, put it that way. But my friends said, well, you'll be chicken if you don't paddle out in these waves. And later on, the lifeguard told us that the waves were 14 foot high. So it was really huge, huge surf. And, you know, I was really scared, but I paddled out and somehow I got out there beyond the break. And at Huntington Beach, when it's that big, you are so far out to sea that the people on the shore look like ants. And so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to get in? I started imagining that maybe the helicopter could come and get me. But I mean, just out there, you know. But, you know, then I began to figure out the only thing I can do is try to catch the smallest wave I can find, because you didn't want to take one of those big hairy ones and smash yourself. Exactly, brother. The first wave of the set, that was the mistake, because it was like a 10-foot wave, and this is before leashes. which means the big rubber band that attaches you to the board. They didn't have those yet. So I lost my board at the break of about a 10-foot wave, and my board went all the way into shore. And so I'm out there, and that was the first wave of a set. And the waves just get bigger and just a little further out in a set. And there's like 9 waves in a set. And so I was just being pummeled in the impact zone with waves. And I started panicking. I thought I was going to die for sure. And I was just going, I started hyperventilating is what they call it. And I cried out to Jesus. Well, I cried out to the right guy. Because all of a sudden, I found myself on a sandbar way out there in the ocean. And there are some sandbars out there in Huntington Beach, and God put me on one. And the water actually came down to my waist. I mean, I was only 5 foot high. So the water was like 2.5 feet deep on this sandbar. And there were no waves all of a sudden. And I just felt this unbelievable peace. I'd never felt anything like it. Just come upon me, and it was like the baptism of just total lack of fear. And I calmed way down. I stopped my hyperventilation. And you know, the next thing I knew, I was just doggy paddling, because that's what I learned as a baby, right? To swim. I was just doggy paddling into the shore. And I don't even remember another wave going over my head. Now, maybe they did, but it was so much in the blanket of the Lord that it didn't matter. And that is when I really knew God is really, really real. And I had such an experience with Him. I felt totally in love with the Lord. And I'm ready to believe anything He wants to tell me. And He tells us the truth always. And it's just wonderful, because the Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free from all of these confusions and bondages and terrible things that go on in our lives. God wants to minister to us, and that's why God sent Jesus to the earth, to grow up just like you and I, yet and be tempted just like you and I, yet without sin. And that's what makes Him qualified to die for me, that my sin would be upon Him, because He was qualified to take my sin upon Him. He never sinned, to pay for my sin through His death. And that's what He did. And He is totally awesome. And we realize it in our lives, and we just begin to love Him back, don't we? We love Him because He first loved us. He made the first move towards us. He spread out His arms and said, "This is how much I love you." And He died for me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, man. And so then you just fall in love when you realize that in a deep way, and you experience the peace that He brings. You just fall in love. You just fall in love with Him. And so then we respond to that love by trying to do the best we can to please Him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith. And so then we enter in to the faith of the Son of God, and just accept that fact that actually I am crucified with Him, because He took His sin upon me 2,000 years ago on that cross. And that is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Amen? Amen. And so we walk in newness of life, and we don't live anymore for ourselves, but we live for Him in response to His love for us. He gave Himself for us. And so our reasonable service is to present our bodies to Him. Now, that's the scripture that saved my wife, Sherry. When we were first married, first week of our marriage, we were invited to a Baptist church to Sunday school, and the preacher was preaching on that you must present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service for what he's done for you. And then you will know what is the perfect will of God for your life. And so Sherry didn't know that. She was raised in a church where they told her, as a congregational church, that Jesus died for the world, therefore the whole world saved. And so she didn't know there was any responsibility on her side of it that was just all done, so she just knew that's okay. But there in the Baptist church, they gave us the verse. No, you have to put yourself up on the altar now before God and say, you know what, I present my body to you, Lord, and no longer live for myself, but for you. And so she did that morning, and she was wonderfully saved and received that peace. And we began to walk together in him, together, side by side, loving Jesus all through our marriage. I'm so happy that God got a hold of us the first week of our marriage. What a blessing to begin our marriage with him and to walk with him through all the difficulties of life. For he certainly does walk with us every step of the way. The scripture says that we don't have a high priest that can't be touched or moved with emotion over the feeling of our infirmities, our difficulties. But he was tempted in all points like as we, and I already quoted this verse, but without sin. So he's able to help those that are tempted. He is able to identify with us, and that's why he had to become a man, to identify with us, that we would identify with him as he got through the temptations and lived to die for our temptations, that we failed, that we actually gave in to the sin. Oh, our Jesus, so good to us. And so we respond in love back to him. Well, let's go back now to 2 Corinthians 5 and go on in the scriptures. Now, it says here, then, we just did verses 13 through 15. It says, therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. In other words, we don't want to look at each other or other men according to our humanity. We want to look past that. We want to get past the human way of looking at people. We get judgmental with one another. We get hard on each other sometimes and just get kind of fussy with each other. But we want to get past that. We don't look on men after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, Christ was here as a human being for us. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more, because he died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he's up there at the right hand of the Father, making intercession or saying prayers for us all the time. And so that's how we know Christ now, in a spiritual way. And so he sent his Holy Spirit to show himself to us as he touches our hearts and meets us at Huntington Beach Pier in 14-foot surf, you know? Yeah, he sent his Spirit to touch me there. And so we don't know him after the flesh, but we know him after the Spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, brand new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Everything has become new. Now, I want to talk to you about this a little bit, because actually, I believe that most of all, this is talking about a brand new attitude. A brand new attitude towards life. It's about seeing the creation, not through Darwin's eyes, but through Jesus' eyes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we're part of that creation, and I begin to see that. And I begin to see that clearly. And that we are the sheep of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And he takes care and watches over us. He's the good shepherd. And he's always there. You know, I remember in second grade, I had an imaginary friend. And, you know, they say that some kids have imaginary friends. I was one of them. And I remember I was walking down my street, 26th Street in Hermosa Beach, down towards my house after school. And I was talking to my imaginary friend. And I looked at my imaginary friend and I said, "Oh, I wish you were real." And then later on, I realized it was Jesus. And he is real. He's as real as peanut butter and jelly, man. He's just solid. He's wonderful. And he came to speak to me and save me from those waves and so many other things and prove himself again and again in my life. And every single day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And that's just the way it is. And I wish everybody could feel that. And I know that you guys know what I'm talking about, that have walked with him at all. He's so sweet. He is so kind that you can't really describe it. You have to just experience it, you know? And there it is, that he makes all things become new. Now, I want to talk about this thing of a new attitude. Because it's so important to get away from condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. There just isn't any. He has not come to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And you begin to see that in a new light when he touches your heart and makes you spiritually alive. You begin to understand spiritual things and understand how big his love is. For God so loved the whole world. Not just one or two, not just one race or two races, but all the races, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know, that was actually one of my first experiences with the Lord in first grade Sunday school class. I walked in, no one was there yet. And I just, that song just came to my mind. Red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And so that is a dynamic, wonderful thing to know. And our whole attitude changes when we realize that, doesn't it, toward him. Now, I want to get to this condemnation thing because actually when we read that when we're baptized, all the old things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. Then we might tend to think, I'm never, ever going to sin again. I've come to Jesus now. Everything's hunky-dory. And the hunky will never cross the dory. You know, it's I'm not going to ever sin again. But you come to find out that you make mistakes. But you don't want to take that mistake to a condemnation level that now I'm condemned, now I've blown it, and I'm gone forever now. Because I was baptized, I came to Jesus, I became a strong Christian, and now I've made a mistake, so now I'm going to be blown away. Never ever allow that to enter your mind, because you're walking with Jesus Christ, and his forgiveness has covered all of your sin, past, present, and future. And when you make a mistake, you are simply to confess it back up to him. Be cleansed of it and walk on in him. And so that's the way it works. And so the new attitude is the attitude of being forgiven by God continually and not using it as a license to be bad, to sin and sin again. But when you do make a mistake and do a sin, you just confess it back to him and walk on. And I want to show this to you in the scriptures. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Now, 1 John's in the back of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And makes it very clear here in 1 John chapter 2 that it is not God's will for us to sin at all. And it says in chapter 2 of 1 John verse 3, "Hereby we do know that we know him." This is how you'll know that you know the Lord. "If we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and keeps not his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that says that he abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." So when you read these scriptures, these are sobering scriptures, and God's working on this as a goal in your life. That because I know the Lord, I'm never going to say an angry word to somebody that's not necessary. That's not righteous anger, but just me blowing off. I'm never going to do that. And because you're walking like Jesus now. But sometimes you slip and you do that. And so what does that mean? Does that mean you don't know the Lord? No, it doesn't mean that. But Jesus wants you to remember verse 1. Let's go back up to verse 1 right now. In chapter 2 of 1 John, he says this, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not." I really don't want you to sin, my little kiddos. I really don't want you to do that. But then it says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate," or a lawyer. That's what that can be translated as, advocate, a lawyer, "with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So God provides for sin, even though it's his will that you never sin again. He knows that you will, for he says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation," which means the atoning sacrifice, "for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If anyone will turn to him for forgiveness, he very simply forgives them." Anyone, because he died for the sins of the whole world. If one died for all, then all are dead. Remember, we read that verse. That's what that means. Everybody's sins were on the cross. All of the sins in the whole world, past, present, and future, were on him. No wonder he was hurting. No wonder he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because can you imagine how that felt, to have all that sin on you? It was on him. And so he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so if I will go to God with the advocate, with the lawyer, and my lawyer is really good, he's the best. And God the Father, the righteous judge, wants to pronounce guilt on us. And Jesus, our lawyer, says, "But Father, I died for them. Their sin was upon me on the tree." And the Father hits the gavel, bam, not guilty, because the sins have been paid for. bam! And that is awesome. And that's why we love the Lord, isn't it? Oh, it is. You know, I'm telling you, it's glorious to know this truth. So I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so the new attitude is simply this. I am going to do my best, and I am going to let the Holy Spirit change me every day. And when I make a mistake, I'm going back to Jesus. I'm going back to the advocate, my lawyer, Jesus Christ, that makes a case for me in heaven before a righteous God and a holy God. And that attitude is that new man. That new man that's been changed from believing there's no hope for me. I might as well just go ahead and sin and sin and sin because there's no hope for me. But I'm the new man with a fresh attitude, a new world view, a new heaven view through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And that is what the new man is about. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still got to live out this life. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of who? The faith of Jesus Christ. I'm in Him. He's the one that died for me. I'm dead to sin and alive to God. Amen. What a beautiful story. And what a great story to be reminded of at Christmas time. Now, I want to give you a picture of what we've been saying from 1 John that was given to me years ago by Corey Ten Boom. How many of you know who Corey Ten Boom is or was? Now, Corey Ten Boom was a lady from Holland, and she hid Jewish people during World War II from the Nazis. And she was arrested and taken to a concentration camp with her sister. And her sister was a dynamic Bible teacher and loved the Lord. And they thanked God for the fleas in the concentration camp, because the guards didn't want to get too close to the fleas that were all over the prisoners. So they could freely have Bible studies without being interrupted by the guards because there were too many fleas. And so her sister was just a dynamic Christian, and she was killed by this guard eventually. And Corey was just so devastated to lose her sister. And so by a miracle of God, they let her out of the concentration camp. She, to this day, well, I say this day, she's in heaven now, but to the day that I heard her preaching, she just said she did not have any idea how she was released. But one day they just called names of people that could leave, and she was one of them. And she just was dumbfounded. But she escaped the concentration camp. And she became the marvelous Christian that her sister was. And years later, while visiting prisons, she came face to face with the guard that killed her sister. And he had become a Christian. And he asked Corey to forgive him. And she looked at him, and she didn't really want to forgive him. But she knew for the love of Christ that she was commanded to forgive. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And she took his hand and shook his hand and said, I forgive you. And the love of Christ filled her up to overflowing. She was such a dynamic, wonderful sister in the Lord and learned from God so many great things. Well, how she puts this whole new attitude was so good for me to understand it, and I hope it helps you to understand. When you're sinning, you're like a person that is ringing a bell. And so here is your bell, and you've got the ringer, and you're going, sin, 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 yay, sin. And you're just banging away on this bell. And every time the bell rings, it's a new sin in your life. Well, you come to Jesus, and you stop ringing the bell, and you keep the donger in the middle of the bell. You're not ringing it anymore. But the bell, it's got some inertia going, right? And so it's still ringing. It rings less and less. Ding, 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 ding. And finally the bell stops. But you stopped ringing it a long time ago. But it just took a while for the bell to stop. And that is the way sin is in the life of a Christian. But we come to the Lord with confession, and we confess it up to Him, and He forgives us. Now, when does the bell stop? It's a hard answer. It's when you're dead. When you are dead as a doornail, you'll never sin again. But until then, you got to keep your confession hat on and be ready to say again, Lord, forgive me for that stupid thing I did today. Sorry for cutting that person off on the freeway, but you don't understand. I was just so mad at him. Well, that doesn't get by with the Lord. It was still a sin. But those things happen, and it's just your bell ringing, but hopefully and wonderfully ringing slower and slower, because we're being daily transformed to His image, amen? Getting more like Jesus every day. But we'll never get there. We can never brag about being Jesus Christ in this flesh, in this body of death. No. Even the Apostle Paul got frustrated with that. He says, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that which I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But then he said, I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for Jesus Christ. And then he went right into chapter 8 of Romans. There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Because God, through His Holy Spirit, is at work in your life, in your heart, through faith in Him. And you can say, I love that bumper sticker. It says, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And when are we finished? When you take your last breath, then you're done. And you're perfect. So when we see Him, and not before, will be like Him. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 3. When we see Him, then we'll be totally like Him. Until then, it's faith. The just shall live by faith. My faith is in Jesus Christ. He's working on me every day. And if I've offended you and made sin towards you, I ask your forgiveness, and I ask the forgiveness of God, and we're asked to forgive one another and walk on. Just like Corey Timboom forgave that guard that killed her sister. Oh, that must have been difficult. But oh, it's God's way. It's God's way to just forgive and forgive again and to love in the name of Jesus. Amen? That's it right there. Okay, well, I want to give you just one more thought. Yeah, let's go back to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And it actually says here, now we did verse 17, but verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. How? By Jesus Christ. Brought us back to Himself, no other way, except through the death of Jesus on the cross. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So He leaves us here upon the earth to reconcile others to Himself by just letting them know how to get saved. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or reckoning their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And the word is in our lips and even in our mouth, the word of faith, that if you confess Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, an ambassador is a person from another country that comes to, like America, the ambassador from Israel has an embassy in Washington, and they represent Israeli concerns to the United States. So what the Lord is saying to you and I is that our citizenship is in heaven. That's another verse. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where our real citizenship is, no matter where we're from on the earth. And so we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representing the kingdom of God to other people because he wants so much to get his love out. He wants to love through you. He wants to make you a lover of the people around you. And so we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Come and confess your sins, be reconciled to God, and then become an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And now this verse, this last verse, is very, very wonderful. Just like the rain coming down right now. Can you hear it? That wonderful rain coming and washing our land. For he has made him, God has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. And that's what we've been talking about. God made Jesus to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So as we are in Christ, we actually radiate righteousness to God through the faith we have in Christ. Abraham, the father of the faith, believed, and it was put to his account in heaven as righteousness. God said to Abraham, in the time of life from now, which is 9 months, you're going to have a baby. And Abraham was 100 years old when God told him that. Forgive me, 99, because the baby was born when he was 100. And Abraham believed him. And Abraham began to laugh. Laughing in the spirit. Listen, can't you hear it? He was laughing with pure joy that such a thing could be. And he considered not his body now dead, because he was past the time of being able to have babies. And he didn't consider his wife's body. She'd been through menopause many years before. She was really old too. She was 89 years old. And he didn't consider that. He just believed the promise of God. And the scripture says Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was put to his account in heaven. That is actually an accounting term, a legal term that's used in the Bible there, accounted to him. It was put to his account like somebody deposits $500 into your account at the Bank of America, wherever you bank, and you look up online and see your balance, and it's $500 more than it was. That's because somebody deposited $500 into your account. God deposited into Abraham's account because he believed him that he was going to have a baby, even though he and his wife were physically unable to do that. But just because he believed that God could and God would, and God did. And the baby's name was Isaac, which means laughter. Because Abraham laughed when God told him that in faith, with joy. So, that is for Abraham. Is this for us also? Yes, it is. And I'd like to end tonight with Romans chapter 4. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And verses 23 through 25. Now, I'll start with verse 3 of Romans 4, just to let you know what we're talking about here. And it's just what I said to you. What says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, or put to his account in heaven for righteousness. Now let's turn now to verse 23 in Romans 4. And it says this. Now it was not written for his sake alone. This was not written down that Abraham believed God and it was put to his account in heaven for righteousness for his sake alone. That it was imputed or accounted to him. But for us also, verse 24, us also, this was written for our sake, to whom it shall be imputed or accounted the righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And I love to always say the word justification, as if I never sinned. So God is just telling us right here, flat out, follow Father Abraham in his faith, and we just believe the Lord for it. We just believe in Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. And it will be imputed also in our account. You know, I always picture a blackboard when I read these scriptures. It's just or a green board nowadays. It used to be blackboards in my day, but now they're all green. I think they changed to white now. I don't know. Anyway, but you put over here faith, and you put an equal sign. And on the other side of it, you put righteousness. And that's the way it's done. And so, he took our sin upon himself that he might give as a free gift his righteousness to you and I. And that's what that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is saying to us. It's the most wonderful thing ever. And we praise God and thank him, especially at Christmas time, right? That he came to do this and he got it done. So let's go ahead and pray. Let's pray together. So Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can have your righteousness and it is imputed or put to our account in heaven in a very legal way, in a very way that you actually justified us by allowing our sin to be on the cross when your son was crucified. And as we simply believe that and take it in by faith, you give us your righteousness. Thank you, Lord. When we see you, we will be presented to you as sons and daughters with totally righteous agendas and what has been written on the account about us. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We bless you for eternal life. And thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you guys go in the prayer room tonight to see if anybody needs prayer? Can come to the prayer room. If you need any prayer, go on in. And so may the Lord bless you. May God continue to lead you and take care of your needs, because he certainly does do that. And remember, Jesus is free. You can't get to heaven by trying to work yourself there. You just turn it over to him. And he does great work all by himself in every life. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.